Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 14, verses 7 to 14. And keep in mind this topic while we read. If you knew me, if you knew me. John chapter 14, verse 7, let's read. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now that's a great promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the text, there are some great things that come from knowing Jesus Christ. Now, when we think about knowing Jesus Christ, of course, we think about being saved. We think about salvation by his shed blood. We think about being justified from our sins so that we are not found guilty before the throne of God. But in this text, there are four specific things that Jesus Christ tells Philip come from knowing God the Father. Now let's see, I'll show you what this is. Jesus said, if you'd known me, you should have known my Father also. So if you knew Jesus, then you'd know God the Father. If you know Jesus, then you'd know God the Father. You see, Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. That is, you can't see God. No man has seen God at any time. But when you see Jesus Christ, you see God. Look at it in John chapter 12, verse 45. Jesus said this, He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. That's what Jesus Christ said. He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. Now, the question is, you're either going to believe what he said or you're not going to believe what he said. Well, I choose to believe what he said. I believe you choose to believe what he said. But the question is, what about a fellow who doesn't believe what he said? Look what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 30. He said, I and my Father are one. You know, there are people that have the audacity to add to the Word of God and say that Jesus Christ didn't mean to say that he and his Father are one, as in the same. What he meant to say is, I and my Father are one, that is, in purpose. We're like on the same team. We're here for the same purpose. We do the same things. That's not what he said. He said, I and my Father are one, period. They are the same. He said it in John chapter 10, verse 30. He said it in John chapter 12, verse 45. He said it in John chapter 14, verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. First part of 10. Now who are we to believe? You are Jesus Christ. I choose to believe Jesus Christ. I choose to believe his words. He said, I and my Father are one. Look in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. See, the deal is, there are people that run around the country and run around the world and pride themselves that they know the Father because they know Jehovah, and that you, professing to be a Christian, that you're not going to go into the kingdom because you don't know the Father. And Jesus Christ said, that's a lie. Jesus Christ said, if you know me, you know my Father. And conversely, he said, if you don't know me, you don't know my Father. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So I'm not going to get all bent out of shape just because they want to knock on my door and give me 30-some-odd Bible lessons to prove they're right and the Bible's wrong. I'm not interested. I'm going to believe Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, look what he said. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, speaking of Jesus Christ, in verse 2, verse 3 says about Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory, watch it, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You want to know what God looks like? The express image of his person is Jesus Christ. That's what he said. Look in Colossians 1:15. You see, the question is, how many times do you need to see this before you're going to believe what he said? If he says it in John chapter 10, verse 30, John chapter 12, verse 45, John chapter 14, verse 7, 8, 9, and 10, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, and now Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, don't you believe he knows what he's talking about? Look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. The context is verse 13. Talking about being translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And now look at Colossians 1:15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? So the only image of the invisible God that you and I have is the express image of his person. It's Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said to Philip, he that has seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You want to know the Father? Get to know his Son. Get to know his Son. In Genesis chapter 1, when creation gets set on by God, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Now, wait a minute. You want to know God? You want to know where you came from? You came from a God who said this. He said, let us make man in our likeness and after our image. Now, how could he say that? Well, he can only say that if God has a body that you can see, a soul that you cannot see, and a spirit that you can feel, in essence. Just like you. You've got a body, a soul, and a spirit. You were made in his image. You were made in his likeness. You know where that came from? It came from an invisible God who showed up in a visible body. The body is named Jesus Christ. And he's God manifest in the flesh. Say, I don't know, you got to show it to me one more time, preacher. Okay, we're going to show it to you one more time. But then this is it. You're going to have to get it on your own after this. I figure after 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses, you're not going to believe it if you don't believe it after seeing this. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's Jesus Christ. That's God manifest in the flesh. I don't care if your modern Bible has taken God out of the text. That's because your modern Bible was translated by people who don't believe the Bible. If that's the case, or don't believe this, that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, or they'd have left it alone. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Amen. That's Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. So, Jesus said, if you know me, you'd know the Father. You'd know God the Father. So I say to you, if you know Jesus, you'd know God the Father. But not only that, if you know Jesus, you'd know God's words. You'd know God's words. Look at the second part of verse 10. I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Now listen, when you know Jesus Christ, you know his words. Amen. You say, and how so? Well, take a look at John 1:1 and see what it says. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, you get the clue here? You know Jesus Christ, you're going to know something about God's words. For one thing, he is the Word of God. Look at John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There he is. There he is. The living Word of God. Look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. This will go along with the first point and reinforce that and then show you the second point as well. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Now, again, if you're following along in a modern Bible, most modern Bibles, you're not going to find this verse. Oh, you'll find a verse 7, but you won't find what I'm about to show you because it's been cleverly removed by the people that translated your Bible. They either took verse 6 and split it in half, calling part of verse 6, verse 7, or they took verse 8 and split it in half and called the first part of verse 8, verse 7. But what you're about to hear is not in your Bible, if you have most modern Bibles. Listen, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 says this. Don't take my word for it. Look it up. You'll see what I'm talking about. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 says this. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Greatest verse in the Bible on the Trinity. I was looking up something in some research the other day, and a guy says, I don't believe in the Trinity because the Word's not there. Well, then, you know what? You don't believe the Word of God. The Word's not there, but he said these three are one. That's the doctrine of the Trinity. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. If you know Jesus, you know God's Word. Why? Because he is the Word of God. Look in Revelation chapter 19, verse 3. Revelation chapter 19, verse 3. At the second coming of Christ, he shows up on a white horse, and the Bible says he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. You know Jesus Christ, you're going to know God's words. Now, not only because he is the living Word, but because what he said is what God told him to say. Look in John chapter 12 and verse 49. John chapter 12 and look at verse 49. Jesus Christ says this, For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So the words that came forth from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ are the words of the Lord and the words of God Almighty. Oh, that's a tremendous thing. You know something? Honestly now, there's nothing funnier than a man who stands up in front of a congregation or a student body who doesn't believe the Bible, that it tries to tell them or tries to tell you what it says. And it's an unfortunate thing, but pulpits all across the United States of America are filled by people who do not believe the words of God. They preach something called a Bible. They teach something called a Bible, but they don't really believe, many of them don't believe that they have in their hands the words of God. And the unfortunate thing about that, I was just having breakfast with a friend of mine last Friday. The unfortunate thing about that is when a man doesn't believe those words and a man doesn't believe that he has the words of God and he gets into the pulpit and he teaches or he preaches, he is going to by a little leaven at the whole lump, he is going to talk people out of faith in God's words. And consequently, you now have a whole generation of people that don't believe they have God's words. But you know something? If you know Jesus, then you can know God's words. Because first of all, he is the Word of God incarnate. And secondly, he told you that what he said is what God told him to say. All he asked you to do was to believe the words. Of course, there's nothing funnier than a man who stands up in a pulpit and teaches or preaches who doesn't know Jesus. You say, oh, that's impossible. No, quite to the contrary. Probably these days, most of the people standing up in pulpits in American churches today are not saved. I don't say that to be judgmental, but these men are professionals. They're not God-called preachers. Many of them, and I've talked to a number of them. See, I did a master's thesis years ago, and when I did that thing, I had to write letters to professors, and I had to write letters to preachers and get answers to certain questions to find out basically the level of apostasy in pulpits and in schools and seminaries today. And you know something? Universally, I found out these two things to be true. Number one, the majority of the men that I wrote did not believe the words of God. They were Bible correctors, not Bible believers. And secondly, many of them did not have a personal saving knowledge and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of their own mouths. I'm not making the judgment. Okay, but that's not all. First of all, if you knew Jesus Christ, you'd know God the Father. And if you knew Jesus Christ, you'd know God's words. Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ introduced himself to me, that is, I came down to a place where I received Jesus Christ as my Savior and began to read this Bible, you know something? There was an understanding that came by virtue of the fact that Jesus Christ was teaching me these things that were said. I believed them to be so. He did that through his Holy Spirit. He says in John chapter 16, verse 13, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals the words of God. He does that because he is the author of Scripture, he is the interpreter of Scripture, and he'll tell you and let you know exactly what God said so that you can be absolutely sure without any question that you know God's words. That's a wonderful thing. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, you'll never know that because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, you'll never know God's words. You'll simply look at those and just have to turn to a commentary or turn to a concordance or turn to another man's work and say, "My God, what do these things say? I don't have a clue what they say." But you do if you know Jesus Christ. All right, and here's the next thing. If you knew Jesus Christ, you'd know God's works, you'd do God's works. You see, if you knew Jesus Christ, you'd know God the Father. That's the way to get to know him. And if you knew Jesus Christ, you'd know God's words. That's the way to get to know what that book says. And if you knew him, you'd know God's works. Not only you'd know him, you'd do God's works. Look at verses 11 and 12. "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sakes." Now watch it. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now look at what he said there. "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now wait a minute. You better be careful right here. Be very, very careful right here. There's something very important for you right here. There are and have been since the days of Jesus Christ and Paul the Apostle and right on through the church age, there have been miracle workers, but you better watch out because they try to convince you by their works that what they are doing are the works of God and that therefore they are God's people. But now I told you, if you knew Jesus Christ, then you'd do God's works. There has to be a knowledge of Jesus Christ before the works that you do are God's works. Otherwise, they are imitation works. And believe me, for centuries, there have been imitators. Look at it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" Now there's a godly work. "And in thy name have cast out devils." That's a miraculous work of God. "And in thy name done many wonderful works." Watch it. "Then will I profess unto them," watch it, "I never knew you." These are not people that were saved and lost their salvation. He said, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work," what? "Ye that work iniquity." These are God's works. Casting out devils, wonderful works, and prophesied in thy name. These were people that were imitators, but they did not know Jesus Christ, and therefore they were not doing God's works. They were doing works that looked like God's works. Boy, you got to be so careful with that. But be careful, because there are also many today who have a profession but that have no possession. Look in Titus chapter 1, verse 16. Titus chapter 1 and look at verse 16. Watch it. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Watch it again. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Listen, there are people today who are very aggressive in their proselyting. If they knew Jesus Christ, they'd do God's works. Their religions grow by threatening you at gunpoint. I speak of Islam. There are those who come along with good words and fair speeches whose God is their belly. They run through the streets of the United States of America professing themselves to be doing God's work. But according to Titus 1:16 and 2 Timothy 3:5, they have a profession, but not a possession. We're looking for somebody that knows Jesus Christ that can do God's works. And these are found in Titus 2:14 and Titus 3:14. Look at it. Jesus Christ gave Himself for us in Titus 2:14 that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, watch it, zealous of good works, zealous of good works. Titus 3:15, all that are with me salute thee, Titus 3:14, let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Now, let me tell you something. He said, greater works than these shall you do. You know something that you and I have the opportunity to do that Jesus Christ did not do in His earthly ministry? You and I have the opportunity to preach the words of God so that the hearers can be born again by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ never had the opportunity to do that in His earthly ministry. He spoke to Nicodemus about that, but until He had risen from the dead, the Holy Spirit had not come. But when Jesus Christ was glorified, the Holy Spirit came. You see that coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 most profoundly. And at that point, you see people being baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Jesus Christ never had that opportunity. We do. That's a greater work. Right now, I'm speaking to you on the radio. But this radio station reaches from Corpus Christi, Texas, to Brownsville, Texas, up through San Antonio, Texas, on over to Houston, Texas, and out to Lake Charles, Louisiana. You know something? When Jesus Christ preached, He could be heard by an audience of people that were sitting there on the side of a mountain or the side of a lake, but His broadcast never reached as far in one sitting as mine is reaching right now. You know why? Jesus Christ said, without me you can do nothing. What we're doing by the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit. We're doing by the Lord Jesus Christ, but this is a greater work. So it's not just about this miracle stuff that people are going around the country and touting. Those things can happen, but it's about just the very basic things of God that are greater works, even of themselves. All right, now, if you knew Jesus Christ, you'd know God the Father. That's how you get to know Him. Don't think you're going to find Him some other way. You're not. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you knew Jesus Christ, you'd know God's words. Don't think you've got to go get all this fancy internet stuff and flip all around there and find out what all these commentators said. I've got a library full of books, and I've got access to what they say on the internet. Most of those guys can't find their way around the Bible because they don't believe it. You want to find out what the Bible says? Get to know Jesus Christ. If you want to do something great for God, you get to know Jesus Christ. If you knew Jesus Christ, you'd do God's works. Now, there are a lot of people who profess to know Him, and they're not doing God's works. I'll tell you what, that's a sad state of affairs, but it's the state we're in today. And then finally this, if you knew Jesus Christ, you'd have God's ear. You'd have God's ear. Look at verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Jesus was always interested in glorifying His Father. If you shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. If you shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. You know something? If you knew Jesus Christ, you'd have God's ears. Listen, there are all kinds of people today that run around all worried and concerned about how they're going to do things like get over their emotional problems and enjoy good health and pay the bills and reconcile their family situations and have power with God and all that. Let me tell you, all of that comes by being able to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father and then believing that Jesus Christ will answer those things. You've got a prayer promise right here. In other words, the closer you are to the Lord Jesus Christ and the more you believe His ability to answer these prayers, the more God the Father is willing to hear your prayers and answer those prayers. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Unfortunately, a lot of people's prayer life is crippled because they don't know the words of God. He said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done." Then he says again, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, those greater works. That your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you," like praying for lost souls to be saved. Again he says this, Jesus Christ said, "And in that day you shall ask me nothing." Don't ask me, ask my Father. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Some of you right now are lacking joy in your prayer life. You know why? You're not asking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not getting God's ears. But Jesus said, you believe it, you'll have joy, you'll have fruit, which will remain. You will have my words abiding in you. And then he said, if you ask these things in accordance with my will, 1 John 5:14-15, and if you believe it, then you will receive it, in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. You know something? You've learned a great thing here. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is a very valuable relationship. By it, you know God the Father. By it, you know God's words. By your relationship with Jesus Christ, you know you can do God's works. And by your relationship with Jesus Christ, you have God's ears. You know something? When you got Jesus Christ, you got a bonus package right there, my friend. Now, you know what Jesus wants you to do? He wants you to take him up on every one of these things you've heard today.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.